Well, good morning, God's people.
Good morning.
And welcome into the season of Advent. In Advent, we turn to God in expectation and hope as we prepare for Christmas and await Christ's coming in the world. But during the time of year when most of us think of baby Jesus and silent nights, do you notice that Advent does not begin with a manger? No, it begins with an apocalypse. And for some of us, this sounds about right. We look around our world, and our world seems like the one Jesus describes in our gospel reading. The burning and shaking of our climate, crying out, nations in distress, and especially that part about fear. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. We are an increasingly fear-stricken people. For it is fear that chooses violence, fear that chooses greed, chooses isolation, with the promise that these things will protect us. And so ironically, I fear that our fear may be the very thing that destroys us. So yeah, I could preach on the end of days. In the summer of 2011, I got to visit the Holy Land. And on May 21st, 2011, our group did an intense 6-mile hike up a mountain in Jordan to a cliff called the End of the World. Now, May 21st, 2011, you might remember, was the day when many Christian evangelicals predicted that the rapture would happen. Now, this was based on some interesting math, but many people also saw clear signs then that our world had come undone. So there I was, on the day the world was supposed to end, standing, literally, at the end of the world. And I was happy, overwhelmed by God's good creation. I was thinking about my friends, Mary Page and RG, back in Alabama, who were getting married that day. I was full of life and hope. And I tell this story to say that one person's rapture day is another person's wedding day. A reminder to myself as much as anyone that Jesus does not ask us to declare the end of days, not in this passage, nor anywhere else in the Bible. That is not ours to do. It's God's. No, Jesus asks us to pay attention, to be attentive, not to rush to the end, but to be present to the now. And beloveds, that is much harder. And so remembering that story from the Holy Land, I had to ask myself some hard questions preparing for this first Sunday in Advent. Questions like, if Kamala Harris had been elected president, how would I have heard the gospel reading this morning? Would I still have such an appetite for the apocalypse? And why does it seem that I am the most open to the scandal of the gospel only when my back is against the wall? I know many of us are still hurting and overwhelmed by the results of the most recent presidential election. Many of us have been feeling hurt and overwhelmed for a long time. But I have also observed that we are more attentive. 2 weeks ago, we held a social justice discernment group meeting, and this group has always been small but mighty, But 2 weeks ago, 35 of you came to our meeting. And my co-leader Barbara and I had asked you to write down the three justice issues that you care about the most, but your responses, well, they didn't fit into these neat categories with to-dos like we had expected. Instead, they were these offerings that named not only the signs of pain that you cannot turn away from, but the ways that those broken parts of our world are connecting to the broken parts within yourselves. So, along with food sovereignty and migration and LGBTQIA plus rights, you also wrote things like, I want to spread love, inclusion, and acceptance in the face of hatred. And things like, I care about reproductive justice. Can mainline churches find a way to have a positive role in this work? And things like, let's go beyond the borders of our walls so we finally have the energy to do what we're called to do. And beloveds, this is the kind of attentiveness that Jesus is talking about. An attentiveness that takes up real space in your life, that changes you. It is keeping our heads raised up, even when the pain of the world seems too great, or even when we don't have to, or even as we realize there will be no quick and easy fixes to heal the world or relieve our own anxiety. And it is also attentiveness that reveals Christ's presence in the world, because Jesus is not found in halls of power, but in places of hurting, in hurting unlikely places through hurting and unlikely people. And so when we raise up our heads, we can proclaim our redemption is near because we realize that it is. Christ is near, God with us, and God on the way. The question that we as the people of St. Peter's might ask this Advent is, can we sustain this attentiveness, and how? We know that despair can make us attentive, but beloveds, so can hope. This week, every time I read the passage about raising up our heads, I thought of these pew boxes and how when you're sitting in one, people's heads can kind of pop up. And I imagined each of you holding and looking down at these signs of brokenness that are also the sites of Christ's saving work and trying to keep paying attention to them. And then a voice, so full of love, saying, raise up your heads, because your redemption is near. And if you were to do that here, when you raise up your heads, you would see our Advent wreath, marking this time of year with the slow spread of light into the waiting darkness. You would see that altar table, a table where all are fed, and you would see each other. There's another gospel passage where Jesus chastises our obsessions with signs, how we want a sign or a symbol to tell us all we need to know about something or someone. And we do that with each other. That survival part of our brain sizes up another person in a split second. And sometimes we have to settle for that in order to stay safe or just make some sense of our world as we pass by face after face after face. But that's not how we have to live here. We can pay attention here. We can be more to each other than snap judgments or stereotypes. We can know each other's names and our pronouns. We can move towards one another, share our fears and our hopes with each other. We can hold this Advent calling together. I don't know what it would look like if we could really do that, but I'd be excited to find out. Wouldn't you? Amen.